news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Email us at therexplex@gmail.com, where I will answer any question and speak on anything and everything you'd like to discuss. Of course, you can listen every Thursday at 7 p.m. on Rant EM Radio. Shouts out to Double A for giving this show a home. Listen to The Rant every Tuesday night on 8 p.m., which is co-hosted by my current guest co-host. Introduce yourself.
What's going on, world? This is the one, the only Tony C in the building. Hey, yo.
It's an honor to have you. Also on RantEMRadio.com, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, 9 p.m. Wednesday with Phil Rea, The Wrestling Call-In Show, live, 11 p.m. with William Morgan.
And the Mega Powers, White Lightning.
Of course, the Mega Powers. I apologize, Mega Powers. Sundays, What Are You Reading comic book show with that surfer guy.
And Jordan Kyle.
If you got Stitcher, all you need to go on Stitcher, search Rant EM Radio, or just search Rant EM, and you'll see the logo. Click on it, click the plus button, and you can listen to every damn show that comes on the Rant EM Radio. So that's worth it. You get all your shows at your convenience. Or if you want, you like the TuneIn app, you can listen to the shows live on the TuneIn app, or hear any of the shows by just listening to TuneIn and go to Rant EM and listen to it on the rotation. I think you know what to search for. We have a smart fan base, which is refreshing. So how you doing? Anything refreshing happening for you?
Hey, man, I'm taking it easy, Rex. Watching, if you will. I was just getting into the rivalry show, watching the Dusty and Ric Flair. Just taking it easy, man.
I was actually planning on watching that when I get back to my apartment. I just saw that it was up last night.
Oh yeah, you should check it out. So far, so good, man.
Yeah, that was the one I was definitely most interested in.
Better than the Monday Night Wars.
You know the one what I don't want to see already.
What's that?
I don't need to see no Stone Cold McMahon Part 1 and Part 2.
Oh, yeah. I know how you feel about that. So what are you going to do when they put up, when they show The Rock in a, you know they're doing The Rock in Triple H? You going to watch that one?
Probably not.
Oh, man, you can't see that. That one was all right. Now, The Rock and Cena, they're going to try to put up there as a rivalry. No.
I'll watch anything. You heard about the Unlucky 13 match, where you had to staple $13 to your opponent. If I watch that shit, I'll watch anything.
Yeah, that's true. You are that of a wrestling fan, my friend.
Yeah. Talking about refreshing, though. My morning was not refreshing at all. This is what happened to me. I'm sleeping. My lady is just hopping out of bed, and I hear banging, and then my door busts wide open.
Uh-oh.
It's my landlord.
Oh, man.
He busts in for no reason, just starts looking around. And this is about the third time he's done this. And we looked on the lease whether he was able to. He's not allowed to do that without 24-hour notice, yet alone just walk into the house.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? My girl's half naked. I'm sleeping. The man just busts in. So we're thinking about taking legal action. I have a problem with my doorknob. And I'm trying to get it fixed because the door doesn't lock right. So I have to come up with some crazy rig to get it to lock. And I'm not in the best neighborhood in New Orleans either.
Yeah, you may want to check into that legally.
I think I'm going to have to.
You could
have
shot him, man.
The thing is, if I wasn't in bed, I would have grabbed the knife quick as shit if I hear my door bust open like that.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, he says, he's like, all right, I got somebody here with me to fix your door. And I'm looking, and this is a really, really shady looking dude. He's just really shady looking, the dude who he was with. And he's like, we'll be back in an hour and we'll fix the door for you. Way more than an hour passes, they never come back. So now I got some shady dude I've never met who knows that I have problems with my doorknob.
Yeah,
so I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah, you need to be looking out, man.
For international listeners, if you don't know what a landlord is, it's the guy who gets the money that you pay for the place you live in, but just walks around and pretends like he does shit.
Yeah. It's super.
Yeah, the super.
The superintendent.
Danny DeVito.
There you go. No, that was Joe Pesci.
Yeah, that was Joe Pesci.
Yeah. I hope that gets worked out.
Well, thank you. I mean, how would you deal with that?
Hey, he's lucky. I mean, somebody come up in my house, they're getting shot.
That's what I was saying. The thing is, if I wasn't sleeping and living in the neighborhood I lived, I would have immediately jumped up, taking physical action, just seeing some two random dude just bust in like that. I wouldn't have even thought twice about it being my landlord. I would have thought twice about protecting my lady and about protecting where I stay.
Oh, yeah. I understand, man. I keep mine by the bed, so some boom, boom, pow.
Yeah.
Boom, pow, man. But I hope that worked, you know, they get that squared away. You never can trust anything like that, man.
So, I mean, that was a horrible way to start my day off.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm thinking about taking some legal action. I got witnesses. My neighbor who lives downstairs saw it.
I would if I were you.
Yeah.
Because that opens, you know, that's like collusion, man. You know my door is not right. What's to stop you guys from plotting on my stuff?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I won't blame you for that at all.
Yeah. Just got to figure out how I'm going to deal with this dude.
Hey, man. Google is your best friend. Any questions you got, Google, man. They'll answer anything.
Yeah.
Other than that, you feeling all right?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm in good mood. Doing the show now, everything's good.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
It's gonna be kind of a short episode. I know everybody wants to hear the Booker T shit, but that's coming a little bit later.
Okay. So what you want to speak on this compacted edition of the Rex Suplex?
Well, in the second half of the program, I'm gonna have for the first time the person who went to the Wildcat event with me and witnessed this go down, Mr. Jay Slade, the Junkyard Stud. So you will be introduced to him in the second half. And as far as that goes, about what you want to talk WWE?
I guess.
How much Raw do you watch?
I mean, I pretty much saw the whole thing. I mean, it was Raw, you know, and this thing is, you know, we talked about it on, you know, the rant the other night. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It's not geared towards a serious wrestling fan, so you know, we have to take it for what it is, you know, Rex. But you know, it's insulting to our intelligence.
I wrote down when I was like right now what some of my thoughts were, and I said something's pushing me away, and I think it might be all the animal suits.
It's
what
that the cartoonish stuff is like, yo. I understand that it's geared toward kids. Okay, got it. Wanna do it, do that. But you gotta give something for the smart marks, man.
Yeah.
It's like they don't even care about us. It's like everything for the kids. Rabbits, Mini-Miz, John Cena, everything for the kids. It's like
Cesaro even on the show?
Oh,
he wasn't even on the show. I don't know what. From what I'm looking at it,
and I'm to the point now, Rex. If it doesn't get like they have from pretty much now, I said I'm gonna give them a week, but I'll give them until probably like beginning of the year, January.
Yeah,
they gotta do something for us, man. I'm just gonna, you know, I hate to be on a wrestling network and just not watch. But at the same time, there's nothing for me. You feel me?
And that's what they need. They need something for everybody.
You know what I mean? It's like it's so slanted toward, okay, kids, that demographic. It's like, so, okay, we come on, you know, we have these shows, and you don't want to be, you know, not in the know. But at the same time, it's like, what can you do? You know, this is not for me.
Nah.
As, you know. You don't give me nothing. It's different if you give me like one or two things. But this stuff's so vanilla.
Damn, and it's leading, like before SummerSlam and SummerSlam, it was good. I was hopeful.
Yeah.
And then it's like, went straight down.
Brock Lesnar and people like him, and I guess you say the part-time, I guess they're there for us, you know, the smart mark. But when they're not there, it's like, okay, they're not pushing nobody new. So what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, you need Reigns pre-taped. I'm sorry, my bad. You need like Reigns pre-taped actually with like a script, looking serious. He's not looking like a threat. If they ever show any videos of him,
he's so green.
Yeah, it's bad. That's what
I don't even know. If they're going to be able to get the green off them, that's the thing.
That's like what I said Tuesday, where I got it. Reigns is taking time off to work on his acting skills. And I said he needs to take some time off to work on his moveset.
Exactly. But see, that's the thing. When they're in that hero, they're still running that hero gimmick at us.
Yeah, the hero. The hero was six, no more than six moves.
Exactly. Rex, why don't they just have a guy that's a tweener, like an Austin, that back in the day, that can wrestle, and there's no, the hero, man, don't know, you know, if we want heroes, if you want, the kids want heroes, you got comic books for that.
Yeah.
At this point. Yeah, it's enough. You got John Cena as the hero. Now you're going to turn Roman Reigns into a hero.
You got every Sunday at 5. Every Sunday at 5 on Rant EM if you want those.
You heard. And it's just, it's too many heroes. And that's insulting to us smart marks.
We don't live in a world full of heroes. In our world, in the areas where we're from, the people who are supposed to be the heroes are the worst bad guys in town.
Exactly. And where's the person that just don't care about nobody but themselves? Okay, you got Dean Ambrose.
Ambrose is the only one.
You can throw him in there. But, you know, outside of that, that's it. Everybody else is a hero or a villain. It's like, come on. Give us a tweener or something. Somebody just that'll turn on everybody.
Raw was taped.
Oh, yeah, it was in Liverpool.
And what did I say last week? I said you're going to get. Where's the network?
Oh,
You got that right at the very beginning.
Yeah, they pissed Vince off, man. SmackDown did. I know you heard.
Oh yeah, I know. I heard that. I was gonna speak on that a little bit, but I don't really have much to say. I could just say what I laughed. But then I read today, it was all in good fun.
It's because the story went viral.
Yeah, that's why it's all in good fun.
You had like different sports outlets talking about it. I heard it on the news, you know, sports talk radio here in Florida.
Yeah.
So they were giving Vince a little, you know, a ribbon about it. But it's his company. If you want to come out and talk trash,
he could do it
to the audience. Hell,
he could do it every night.
Especially to the Brits, they ain't worth a damn.
I know that. I mean, no, not, I don't know that. I know how that's how you feel. I don't understand why.
But. Damn right. Because they're disrespectful, man. They don't know their roles. As chauffeurs, cooks, you know, things of that nature. Any position of servitude. That's
Cena got the shit booed out of him. He can't make up his mind about who he wants on his team for Survivor Series. He teases that he wants Ryback. The Authority does his talks and shit, and then Ryback drops Cena. That's what happened. That was it. That was how it started?
Yeah, he ended up joining the... Right, he's going to be on Cena's team. You
can already see that's where it's going.
Yeah. But let me ask you this, Rich.
Yeah.
We got into a heated discussion on the rant. I don't know if you heard. They went out of their way to sing that song. And you know what song I'm talking about, right, for him. The John Cena Sup song.
Of course. The song that started here.
Yeah, it started here, but it died. We hadn't heard it for a long time. And then they went out of their way over there to show their disdain. Now, I hate the Brits, you know, like anybody else. But when you get booed by them, my man, when they go out, man, look.
You doing something wrong.
He's ran his course. The guy needs, because... You know, they try to compare him to Hogan and WCW before he turned heel, but they weren't booing Hogan like that. I don't care what nobody said. You can go and watch the old Nitros and, you know, leading up to him turning heel. He wasn't getting heat like that.
No, he's getting more heat right now than Hogan got.
Exactly. That's
the only time Hogan had that level of heat is when the night he joined is when they filled the ring with all the trash. But, like, beyond that... He wasn't getting that type of legit heat like Cena's getting.
And, you know, the argument that Cena is he's geared toward the kids, and it's because he churns out so much, he's going to sell merch regardless.
Exactly.
It's like, you're going to keep this guy as a hero. Nobody, the vast majority of the crowd don't want to see him as a hero. Anyone else, they'd return him just like that.
Hogan started selling more merch when he turned.
Exactly.
I don't think they thought about that, though.
The biggest argument, you know, Lee had for me the other night, he said when Austin turned heel, he was never the same.
Yeah, that's true.
But if Cena turned heel and go back to face, who did it hurt?
It's not going to hurt. It's not gonna, that wouldn't hurt anything. I mean, you can try. I mean, there's nothing wrong with trying it. And if you're going to do it at any time, you know what I'm saying? It better be soon. If Cena's going to turn, it's got to happen soon.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm hoping they don't miss the boat on it, though.
I mean, then, wasn't it you who said, I mean, there is a right way to do it? Like, had him just, I don't give a shit, kind of, you know, taking that kind of...
Just have him finally just turn on somebody. If he joins the Authority Sunday at Survivor Series, nobody, that would be the perfect time. You see what I'm saying?
Had Daniel Bryan come out, give an update. Have Cena come out and attack him. Instead, I mean, Not that that's the best way to do it. I'm just saying it's not that difficult. There's multiple options. You just got to get creative. There's a fucking group of people who work for WWE called Creative, and they're not creating anything creative.
And, you know, with the authority going away, and WrestleMania is going to be something, man. I don't know if it's going to be something in a good way, but I know it's going to be something.
I don't think it's going to be as good as last year.
Oh, no.
I got lucky Vince. Last year.
Yes, you did. Because you got Vince and Triple H gonna do battle for control of the company.
You think it's going to be Vince and Triple H, or you think it's going to be Triple H and Rock?
Well, whoever they get.
Or
I don't think they're going to fight.
Yeah, it's going to be, you think it'll probably be Vince and Rock's corner.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You're talking about getting the WrestleMania 2000 match that we never got.
What else happened? Seth Rollins beat Jack Swagger with the curb stomp. Paige beat Alicia Fox because Paige's in her house. That's a big ass house she got.
Yes, it is.
U.S. title match. Rusev defeats Sheamus by countout. I don't know what the point of that was, really.
To say that he got his rematch.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
That's it.
We got Miz and Sandow defeating Los Matadors. Ziggler got a DQ win over Mark Henry after Henry threw him into the railing and grabbed the chair. AJ beat Brie in a match I didn't see, but I was happy to read about. Tyson Kidd beat Adam Rose clean.
Yeah, with help from the bunny.
I'm glad I didn't see it. I like Tyson Kidd. I remember back in the day, TJ wrestling, when he was real damn good. Before WWE. Oh, yeah. Even before the hair and everything.
Yeah, I mean, but they're going to end up having a match with the Bunny versus Adam Rose.
And I'm not looking forward to that.
Me either. Me either, my friend. What else you have on your agenda?
I dropped something on the floor. I can't find it. I'll find it later. The main event. Cena beat Ryback by DQ, and Ryback pretty much makes it clear he's definitely not on Team Authority, but he's not on any team right now. Cena looks like he's happy, and then Dolph Ziggler gets his ass beat by the Authority, and the show fades up.
Yeah, was that Harper that got him, right?
I don't remember. I just know he just... Yeah, Harper was out there.
He threw him on the couch. It wasn't that significant. It's time for Dolph Ziggler to give up that IC title. I can see Harper went in.
Yeah, I can see that happen too. So they're trying to figure out what they're doing with him.
Yeah, they got the other guy stalking Renee Young.
Rowan, they have no idea.
They don't know what to do with those guys.
It's like they're doing one of those things where they try to outdo a gimmick. I mean, an angle TNA did a long time ago. They're trying to redo the Sam Shaw thing.
And we all see how great that was.
They're gonna show Rowan, and they're gonna show his shack, and he's gonna have a collection of Renee Young's fingernails in a jar and shit like that.
Exactly. Make you shake your head. Who's booking this crap?
Chris Jericho had a book signing in Liverpool where he left 600 fans outside in the rain. waiting to get their book signed.
But those Brits need to get wet. They can clean themselves.
But he tweeted his apology and said thank you to the 600 Jerichoholics that waited in the pouring rain to get an autographed copy of my book. So at least he was a gentleman about it.
He didn't owe an apology to them.
I knew you were going to say that.
He did him a favor.
They lucky they got left in the rain.
Exactly. A British rain at that.
See, good news. WWE and the city of New Orleans are touting WrestleMania 30 as a huge success. I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but there were broken records as far as income for hotels and restaurants in the city, which is great for both the city and WWE's image over here.
Oh, yeah, they're coming back.
Yeah.
They're coming back. They did good money there, man.
Yeah, they did well. Get well to Kamala.
Okay.
Kamala's in intensive care right now for a serious stomach infection. He already had both of his feet amputated due to diabetes. So, yeah, I just want to give the best wishes to Kamala. Kamala was a big part of the Southern scene back in my day when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Get well soon.
Yeah, get well soon, Kamala. So, somebody listens to the show. Asked me to talk about his upcoming Randy Savage DVD.
Oh, man.
And you're going to find out why he... Apparently, they explained why he was blocked from history from 2000 and on. And apparently, there's a lot of reading between the lines that can be done. If you know what I'm talking about. When it comes to Stephanie? Yes.
So... They're trying to say that Savage was a child molester?
Apparently, something did happen. Nothing specific, no details. They just say read between the lines, but in good taste, I'm not going to speculate on any of it, you know? I'll wait till I see the DVD.
Randy hit that. If he is a sex offender... That's just nasty, Randy. You had Miss Elizabeth. What you need with that young girl?
They were getting divorced.
I wouldn't care. He
had that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean shit. It's true.
He had all those broads. Anyhow.
All right, TNA. Oh, wait, no, before I go to TNA, we talked about this on Tuesday, but Jim Ross is going to commentate Global Force Wrestling's presentation of New Japan Pro's Wrestling, Wrestle Kingdom, but this is only under the stipulation that Jim can do the commentary live, so in America, that's going to be around 2 a.m.
Oh, the Rant's going to have coverage of that sometime.
Yeah.
2 a.m., good luck.
How stupid does this make Jeff Jarrett sound, though? Is it not going to be an actual promotion? It's going to be Jeff Jarrett's just going to pay another promotion some money and be like, hey, can we... It's not like Global Force... Come to the Global Force event, Supercard, whatever. No, it's come to Global Force. They have a presentation of... Ring something something wrestling. It's like, wait, why don't you guys, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I feel you.
Global Force can't do their own show. They have to present New Japan's biggest show. But at least they got Jim Ross, which is that's always a good thing.
Exactly. To help him out, give him some mainstream notoriety.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That'll be able to help him draw a little bit. I think.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a good draw to have him on there. Definitely going to be a big draw. And in the TNA, backstage, there's a huge state of panic amongst everyone.
Why is that?
Is that sarcastic? They have no direction. They have apparently no direction going forward. And to top that off, the in-ring performers and the people in control and in creative are not communicating about anything that will happen on the future. In the future, there's no heads up for anybody. There's a disconnect between the in-ring performers and the people who are writing and the production team and all that.
Was they keeping it, I don't know what to say about TNA, man.
Bully Ray is no longer under contract. He's real upset.
Of course he's not.
And you remember what I said about the Hall of Fame? The Hall of Fame is more like the PC Later Award.
Yeah.
So, yes, you probably won't be it long before Bully's gone. But this is what go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, him and D.Va are going to be on in WWE in the new year.
You'll see him on the next Old School Raw.
Yep.
But the funniest thing about this, Bully tweeted, when generals do not properly communicate with their soldiers, consider the war lost and the soldiers dead. So, I mean, what does that say to you?
About, you said Bully Ray?
That's what Bully Ray tweeted about TNA right now. When generals do not properly communicate with the soldiers, consider the war lost and the soldiers dead.
Well, he's telling the truth. They're not telling them nothing, so they're taking it like it's going to be over. But like Surfer says, when the ship is going down, the rat's the first one to jump off.
Yeah.
So they're not going down with the ship. They're calling Vince, like, yo.
You're damn right.
We can work with Stardust and Goldust. You know, we can do something.
All right, I'm about to wrap it up for this first half, and then I'm gonna get into the Wildcat news and a little bit of independent news. I'm trying to keep this episode a little bit shorter, based off the incident this morning with my door.
I can understand that. Well, I appreciate you having me on, man.
I appreciate you being on.
And
it's all family. The Rants family, man.
Yes, sir. And if I'm available, just hit me up. And I'll definitely, come on and offer my opinion on everything.
Yeah, definitely. I always appreciate talking with you, man. We got good chemistry and good views. Always enjoy talking with you.
Oh, yes, sir. And hope the rest of the show goes well for you. And I'll be checking it out on the downloads.
Thank you. All right. Appreciate that.
All right, well, Rick. So, if anything, appreciate having me on. And hope to hear from you this weekend on the call-in show. So.
That sounds good, Tony C.
All right, man.
All right, man. Thank you. You have a good night, dude.
You too, man.
Later. Alright, with that, we are going to take a break, and then we will have my good friend, Mr. Jay Slade, the Junkyard Stud, to discuss everything that went down with Wildcat Wrestling, ROH, Survival of the Fittest results, and a little bit of indie news, and then we're probably going to just cut the show short. I didn't expect to have such a busy day, such a busy night, but we're still going to get this thing done. And this is the Rexplex. I'll be right back in just a moment. Enjoying what you hear so far? Want to hear more of the Rexplex week after week? Send us feedback at therexplex@gmail.com. Tweet us at therexplex. Or join the Facebook group page at www.facebook.com/TheRex. What is good, everybody? Welcome back to episode number 4 of the Rexplex. I am joined by a very special co-host, Mr. Jay Slate, the Junkyard Stud. Introduce yourself.
What up, wrestling fans? This is Jay Slade, as you quite eloquently heard, the Junkyard Stud, old school wrestler fan from way back. Pleasure to be on the Rex Place. And how you doing, Rex?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, finally. We've been talking about this since WrestleMania weekend, I think.
And I'm glad you mentioned and talked about WrestleMania, Rex, because I just heard on the radio with Deacon Bobby that this past WrestleMania was like one of the biggest events in New Orleans, and get this, it drew in $142 million.
Boom, there you go, people. That's the money. Because I said I didn't know how much exactly we got, but I know just hotels and restaurants alone, it was one of the highest grossing events for the city.
So, like, 100, and I think it was all people from all 50 states, plus I think 30-something countries. So, a lot of international flavor came down for WrestleMania. Call it what you want, guys, but, man, that was one of the best weekends of the year.
Hell yeah, it was one of the... Was that not one of the most fun weekends we've ever had?
And not just WrestleMania, but WrestleCon in general, folks. I mean, like, you know my motto, support the indies. I mean, Dragon Gate was there. Evolve, great event. Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor.
Yeah, we saw Supercard of Honor. Ladder match.
Oh, that ladder match. Oh, my goodness. Folks, I know you heard this same old cliche, but seriously, seeing it on television and seeing it live is two different oceans, I tell you, my friends.
Yes.
When you get a chance, go to a live show. You will not be disappointed, for real.
Especially Ring of Honor, especially Evolve.
Evolve. And that's amazing. Way back, I was just looking at the Evolve, my Evolve 1 DVD, way back in 2010. And to see the many wrestlers that came from Evolve that are on the big time, from John Moxley, a.k.a. Dean Ambrose, man, Sammy Callahan, who is, I think he's a Solomon Crowe. Is he still in NXT?
Yeah, he's in NXT. Sure. He's in NXT. They just haven't put him out there. They had the character, developing character for him, but that he just hasn't actually been on the NXT show or anything yet like that.
Okay, and of course you guys are all familiar with Low-Key and the American Dragon and so many others. They went on to do good things. And your personal favorite, I know, is Ricochet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's great. And to see Evolve from 2010 to today, I think what they did, starting with Evolve Event 30 or 31, they started the reboot.
Yes, they've done a new reboot. They have a new point system now.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that DVD that are going to be coming out soon. Or better yet, you know, you can watch the shows online, which is a bonus.
Yeah.
So get a chance, check them out. But, yeah, Rick, I'm taking up your chair time, man. What's on your mind?
The PWI 500 has come out.
Oh, really?
And I'm just going to skip through a few of the names, starting with number 500, Grado. Are you familiar with Grado?
Grado. His name sounds familiar. I am. Yeah, Grado. At number 500.
He is kind of a comedy. He's a comedy character for his international. He's basically like the Colt Cabana. Australian listeners, please don't hate on me. I'm not sure if he's from Australia or not. But he's like the Australian Colt Cabana almost. He's actually developed a friendship with Colt Cabana.
Okay. Will we be seeing him on any of the $5 wrestling?
Quite possibly. He's very silly.
At
491, we have Barry Hardy. The Barry Hardy.
Wow. And I'm... He
now that name is very familiar with me because I've seen him wrestle from time to time. I haven't seen him much lately. Last time I heard he was abroad, is he still abroad or is he in the States now?
I'm not sure where he is now. I just knew he was doing something with his son.
Okay. 491. Oh, top 500. How do they calculate who's number 500, who's number one?
See, this is something so often discussed. It's about basically promotion, what promotion you're in, how often you're seen. Your in-ring performance, your mic performance, your activity, titles, Angard said that, you know, just based on everything pretty much, but it's still, there's a lot of talk. Me and Luke had this talk last year about how inaccurate it was that they had so many names on here and Luke himself was not on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the emphasis is pro wrestling. Illustrated 500.
Sometimes I forget that.
Yeah, because you know, like Paul Heyman said back in an early shoot on Vince, sometimes wrestling is a dirty word.
Yeah.
So, but not to me.
480. You got Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger.
Yes, at 480.
That's one of my cold favorites right there, Gold Cheeseburger. I met him at the Super Card of Honor.
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, real nice guy. Man, I'm just scared that one of those big guys is going to break him in half.
Crack arm in half. That's what I'm waiting for, too.
Oh, my God, like somebody going to rip his arm out and deal with it. But, man, the fans love Cheeseburger. I know he loves it. You can tell when he's in the ring, he loves what he's doing.
Oh, yeah, he definitely loves it. 463, somebody who wrestled in a dark match at that show, Mike Posey.
Mike Posey at 450. I would put him a little bit higher because Mike Posey, he has good skills. Good skills. You know, I think he's honing him up, you know, to the point that, you know, he can be a great wrestler. You know, I've seen him in a few dark matches over the years, and he put it like this, he came along good ways.
Yeah, I mean,
what it used to be.
He was a referee.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was in the tag team, the Official Express, with Wes Adams. Right? Am I right?
That's right. You're right.
Okay, I think this man should be ranked way higher up. 422, Willie Mack.
Willie Mack, one of the most undiscovered talents in the wrestling business. Why has anybody picked up on this guy for a major promotion? I have no idea. Wicked talent. I'll just watch them and Russell B-Boy and mm-hmm. Kurt Russell, I think it was Kurt Russell Reunion, no, it wasn't Kurt Russell Reunion 3, I'm sorry. It was one of those events. But a big man like that to do such fast moves, my goodness.
Yeah, so graceful.
So graceful. And of course, everybody heard about the controversial, you know, he didn't even get to step on NXT grounds.
Nope, didn't even get to, I don't know, may not even have made it to Florida.
Oh, man, I believe that was one of the biggest mistakes NXT could have made. That is a real good talent. That's a real good talent. But, like I said, I hope they give him a second chance because they did the same thing to Claudio Castagnoli.
Yeah.
Who is now, what's his name, Cesaro now?
Yeah, Cesaro.
So, you know, he might get a second chance. I hope he does get a second chance. But, you know what? That means we can see more of him in PWG if he decides to wrestle for PWG.
That's what I said. I said he had such an emotional exit when he gave his farewell speech that people were tearing up in the audience and all chanting along, singing, "Why Can't We Be Friends?"
Really?
And I said, oh, that was, I really want to see that farewell, but I'm also looking forward to his return, which I hate to say, but, you know, it's wrestling.
Can't get enough of Willie Mack. Oh, man, he, He's one of the greatest. What else you got there, Rick?
394. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. Samoan. Lance NOI.
No. What's the scoop on him?
He's wrestling, pro wrestling. He's wrestling in the New Jersey area, around there. He looks kind of like an Uso, but he's really, really good. Speed. He's good. He's still on his working his way up.
Mhm. You said Uso, but really, really good.
Yeah, I mean he's got the Uso style, the Uso look.
New Jersey. Okay. One of, because I know the Samoan wrestling school, is that still in Maryland? Because I wondered if you...
I believe so.
Okay. All right, what else you got on that list?
See who we got. There was Gregory Iron, number 36, came in at 361.
Greg Irons. Wow. Talk about an old school pro right there. That name is definitely familiar. He's been around the Indies. Did a couple of matches for the major organizations at one time, if I remember correctly. I'm not familiar which ones that he did, but
he's been all around.
Yeah.
The handicap hero.
He reminds me of those throwbacks of those old school wrestlers.
Yeah.
They go show to show, pack the car, drive 22 hours to a show. And just loved every minute of it.
Yeah, a journeyman.
Yes.
A real journeyman. Definitely. All right, part of, number 341, part of Nation of Intoxication, you got Lucky 13.
Lucky 13. Lucky 13, man. Lucky 13 is an enigma because he's technical, he's hardcore, he's high-flying, he's like a whole bag of tricks, if you don't mind me saying. He can do it all. Former, was he the Cage of Death winner, or should
he
I say
won,
Survivor?
Yes. He won the Cage of Death last year. He was the sole survivor. Yeah. Number 340, Mr. Swerve. Shane Strickland.
Wow. Impressive pane of glass match that he did. I think it was Night of Infamy, the CCW pay-per-view a few weeks ago. Shane Strickland, I've seen him in PWX. Very talented, very athletic.
And you start getting into...
Very tall. And he is athletic. I'll give him that.
Shane Strickland is really, really tall and really fast. I've been liking what I've seen from him since the start. I must have lost Dave Crist, Jake Crist. They're both around the 300, low 300s. My friend since, this goes way back.
Really?
I'm talking over 15 years.
What?
Ranked 326, Ruckus.
Ruckus.
Yep.
Talk about a veteran of the game, folks. Ruckus. I mean, any organization, he's probably Russell Bennett. Chicago, the CZW, SoCal. I mean, name it, he's probably wrestled in it. One of the most consistent wrestlers. What I mean by consistent is, you ask him to do a show, he will do it. Him and his partner, G's. Oh man, they have come a long way.
G's is ranked right below him at 306. Then you got Caleb Conley, Robert Anthony, and at 303, somebody you might be familiar with, Big Daddy Young Yum, Byron Wilcott.
Byron Wilcott in the 300s.
Yes.
What?
How you like that?
I can deal with that. Byron Wilcott, yeah, he's pretty good.
I'll say this much. That's what I call another diamond in the rough right there.
Definitely.
You know, he's a little rough around the edges, but you know, just a few more polishes and he'll be good to go. I'm telling you.
I mean, he's good. He's got a lot of charisma. He's got star kind of quality to him.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. And that's what you call a wrestler right there, guys.
300, we got Tommy Dreamer.
Tommy Dreamer, who said that King of Death, he was on the decline of his career, and now at 40, I think he's in his 40s now.
Yeah.
Still loves what he does, still appreciative. But a lot of wrestlers in their 40s that can say that they're still doing what they do. So,
yeah, I'm about to run through some real quick, so we got some other big stuff to talk about.
All right.
Just tell me if any of these names mean anything special. Steve Anthony.
The Eagle.
Yeah.
The Eagle, Steve Anthony. Man, I love his character. I love the character he portrays. Man, another Cage of Death survivor.
Yes.
He didn't actually win. But,
He almost killed somebody in the Best of the Best tournament, but that wasn't his fault.
Oh, my goodness. Which one was that one? Number 10?
No, it was a while ago. There we go.
Way back when.
Trevor Lee, Stupefied, Hanson, Icarus, Chessmen, Eddie Kingston, L.A. Park, Player Uno, Homicide, R.J. Brewer. Facade.
So that tells you that the longevity of these guys, man, they really love what they do.
We got Joey Ryan at 261. Oh, I skipped Brian Kendrick, 264.
Ooh.
Sanjay Dutt, 256. Sanjay Dutt came in at 257.
I'm turning to Sanjay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paul London, 251. Tony Nese came in at 248.
Tony Nese. All right. That's one of the guys that we saw.
That's one of the guys that impressed you in person. I don't know if you had ever seen him live before.
Oh, yes, he
I said, just give him a chance. Give him a chance. He'll impress you.
Yes, he is impressive. You know, he's the quote-unquote stereotypical wrestler that they love these days with the six-pack abs and, you know, the muscular builds. You know, nothing wrong with that. But like I said, I'm old school, so.
Yeah.
Okay, what else we got?
217, Brodus Clay.
All right, bro, it's Clay.
216, somebody who I thought was retired. Scorpio Sky.
I heard he retired.
I thought he was retired for years.
Where has he been?
I don't know where he's been either.
212,
yeah. Shelton Benjamin.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
212, Shelton Benjamin. 208 is somebody who I would make a top guy if I had my own promotion. I actually, on the WWE video game, he is one. He's a main eventer, and that's Uha Nation.
Why would you make Uha Nation a top guy?
Because he's big. He's slept on. He's fast. He can do all the same things a high flyer can do.
And that says a lot for a big man.
And
they can high five like you can.
He can talk. He's intimidating. And WWE needs a real black champion. There you go. I said it. That's
oh, wow. That's one thing about Rex, folks. He tells it like it is. Oh, man. And not light-skinned champion.
No, a real black champion. A real black champion.
Yes. WWE champion at that. Folks.
Yes, at that. At, yeah.
Oh boy. Who else we got on that list?
205, Steve Corino. 204, Stevie Richards. Trent Beretta at 200.
Okay.
Drew McIntyre at 196.
AKA now Drew Galloway, I believe.
Yes.
The current Evolve champion, if I'm not mistaken, or is it somebody else?
I think, no, he's got it. He's got it still.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy Jacobs at 148. All right. 141. Masato Tanaka. 140. Wow. 140. Colt Cabana. And prepare for a standing ovation coming in at 139. The Southern Stomper, Luke Hawks. How about that?
Luke Hawks.
Not in there last year. In there this year.
Alright, Luke Hawks. Happy third anniversary. Wildcat.
And in your top 10, Bully Ray, Adam Cole, Magnus, Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, Okada, AJ Styles, John Cena, Randy Orton, and number one is Daniel Bryan.
Wow, number one. I think this is Daniel Bryan's 100th time at number one. No, I'm just kidding, not 100.
But how, that's what I'm saying. Like we were talking about a moment ago, if being active is such an important part, how is he number one when he's been so inactive throughout this year? Because he got the big one? Is that why?
We haven't seen a Russell too much this past year. I guess because he has such a big fan following, and a lot of people were, of course, disappointed that he wasn't in the Rumble. But as far as this is the PWI 500, emphasis the middle word, wrestling, he didn't do a lot of wrestling, so I do disagree with that number one.
Yeah, as I always say on this show, we talk pro wrestling for your entertainment, never the other way around. We talk pro wrestling for your entertainment. We never talk entertainment for your pro wrestling.
And to steal a quote of one of the greatest tag team wrestlers, if not one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, oh my brother, you know the rest. Yes, you know. Oh man, that was my inner Willie Ray and Devon right there. So, but I'm surprised. What was number five again?
Number five was Kazuchika Okada. He's the number one contender for the New Japan IWGP title.
No, I would have had him in the top three. I would have had him at number one personally, because I've seen his clips. This man is amazing, folks.
Tanahashi too, and Nakamura, Shinsuke Nakamura are two other ones who are really good.
Yes, I don't know. Are they part of the Dragon Gate promotion? Because I know I was kind of disappointed at the WrestleMania weekend that none of the Japanese wrestlers.
So was I. That's why I didn't go to that show. You noticed they charged so much extra because it was Dragon Gate, but there was not the only there was one Japanese wrestler there, and he was added that day, and that was the Masato Tanaka took on Chris Hero.
Wow.
That was it.
Man, you got to see the legend Masato Tanaka.
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness.
He killed it in person.
What's that?
He killed it that weekend. He was on fire.
Flashback of the infamous Mike Awesome, rest in peace, Masato Tanaka feuds of ECW. Oh my goodness.
Oh goodness.
And you see him against Chris Hero, and like you said, he did his thing.
And his match against Kevin Steen that weekend?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That was a roller coaster right there. Now, Masato Tanaka, all respect to him, because he has been in the game since forever, guys.
Yeah.
Since forever. I mean, just go on YouTube, watch his clips, or go to the old ECW videos of him and Mike Awesome. Definitely watch those matches, folks, and you'll see what we're talking about.
All right, you want to jump into the ROH Survival of the Fittest results before we get into the all the drama with Booker T after what he did to us?
Oh, yes. Let's go into it, man. Survival of the Fittest.
Okay, night one, you had a dark tag team match with Moose and R.D. Evans defeating Jay Diesel and Jake Durden. And then you get to the qualifying matches for the Survival of the Fittest. You get Tommaso Ciampa defeats Will Ferrara. Second match.
Wait, Tommaso Ciampa, he is back.
Yeah, Tommaso Ciampa is officially back. Roderick Strong defeating Tadarius Thomas.
Okay.
Adam Page defeat my boy Cedric Alexander.
All right.
Adam Cole beats Delirious. And Hansen defeated Jay Lethal. And you also had a qualifying match where former Evan Bourne, Matt Sydal, beat ACH.
Oh, wow. Now, I wish I would have saw that match.
Yeah, that sounds like a hell of a match. And you had Daniels and Kazarian defeat BJ Whitmer and Jimmy Jacobs.
All right, two members of the decade.
And,
all right.
And the final match was Matt Taven and Michael Bennett defeating the Briscoes. And night two, in the dark match, you had Jay Diesel defeat Matt Sex, who I'm questioning if that's a real person.
I don't blame you for questioning that.
You had the ROH television title match, Jay Lethal defeating Cedric Alexander.
Jay Lethal's been a champ for a long time.
Yeah, Jay Lethal, we were there when he won the title.
Mm-hmm.
So he's had it since then.
Wow.
R.D. Evans and Moose defeat the decade of Whitmer and Jimmy Jacobs. You get Mike Bennett defeated Will Ferrara. ACH beat Matt Taven. Tadarius Thomas defeated the Romantic Touch. The Briscoes beat the Addiction, which is Chris Daniels and Kazarian. And then you had the six-way elimination match where Adam Cole defeated Adam Page, Hansen, Matt Sydal, Roderick Strong, and Tommaso Ciampa to put him in the position that I said he should be in, to be the number one contender for Jay Briscoe's title at
Final Battle?
At Final Battle, yes.
Tommaso Ciampa?
No, not Tommaso Ciampa.
Oh, okay.
Tommaso Ciampa was pinned, Roderick Strong was pinned, Matt Sydal was pinned, Hansen was pinned, and Adam Cole won the whole six-way match.
Mm-hmm.
Making Adam Cole and Briscoe the main event.
Wow. Oh, Jay Briscoe. I was just finished watching it. I was watching his match against Amazing Red way back in 2002. There was the very first Ring of Honor match. And when he was just like 18 years old. To see where he was back then to where he is now. Man, that's an amazing journey. And, folks, only, as you already know, only two men held the Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship twice. Jay Briscoe was one. Who was the other one?
Austin Aries.
There you go. There you go. Okay, like
this right here is something crazy. World Wrestling Network had a live event in China. On the 10th in China. They had the Bravados defeat AR Fox and Rich Swann Timothy Thatcher defeat Jody Christopherson by DQ. Mia Yim defeating Allison Kay. Johnny Gargano defeating Biff Busick. Shine champion Ivelisse, who you can now see on Lucha Underground. I'm not sure if you checked any of that out yet. Ivelisse beat Su Yung. New Dragon Gate USA tag champions Caleb Connolly and Trent Beretta defeated The Colony. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and Dragon Gate USA champion Ricochet defeated Chuck Taylor.
Okay, alright. Ricochet, once again, the man of Dragon Gate USA. Alright. Man, I wish I was in China. Man, I bet that is one hell of a card that the fans got to.
Now, I guess it's about time we get into it. Wildcats Revolution Rumble. And first off, everybody's talking about the whole Booker T beef, what's going on with that. And just to get you caught up a little bit, I'm going to start off with letting you hear what Booker T said prior few days leading up to the event.
Wrestling, as well as, let me give Wildcat Wrestling a plug, because myself and my team going to be going to Wildcat and taking over with it, kicking ass and taking aim. Let me just say it like that. I'm taking some of my Reality of Wrestling stars down there, Abel Andrew Jackson, Russo's Ryan Davis, and his show, Wildcat Wrestling, what it's all about. So, Wildcat, if you hear this, you better be ready, man. You better have your shield and your armor gear, because we come in and it ain't going to be about, somebody got the chill or anything like that. You better be ready, sucker.
So, how you feel about Booker T saying that, Jay?
Well, Booker T, I felt that. My general reaction was, I love it. I love inter-promotion feuds. But him coming into Wildcat territory and making claims to stuff that...
That's something you don't do. It's different out here in New Orleans with our wrestling. They don't know that.
He's in for a rude awakening.
See,
I got to tell you that.
I show up, I see Booker T. Of course, he's got a line, but he knows of who I am through a mutual friend. I tell him that it's me through the mutual friend, and we say, okay, we're going to chat a little bit later and maybe get a little interview for the Rexplex. The show kicks off. Booker T is introduced by what's that guy's name? No, man. You know, the guy with the beard. The man behind the scenes at Wildcat comes out and introduces us to Booker T.
Oh, okay.
Booker T comes out and gets streamers thrown and makes this face like he never knew that was a part of wrestling ever. Like, he never heard of it before. By that look on his face when we threw the streamers.
That was priceless. He was definitely shocked at that.
And then Wildcat champion Outlaw Matt Lancey comes out very heartfelt, looking injured, and he announced it, I believe he said, for a year.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now the question is he going to relinquish the title?
Now that, folks, we didn't see. I mean, I did not see him officially take off the belt and give it to the commissioner or general manager or Wildcat.
But it was, Matt Lancey definitely walked backstage with the title.
So in technical terms, in the wrestling fan, as long as I have, you take off the belt and you give it to the manager or the commissioner. So my thing is, he did not relinquish the title. That's my opinion on that.
And the first match we got, it was kind of a warm-up match. It was Mike Dell defeating Minotaur.
Yeah, that was
It was a dark match.
Basically, a dark match, I guess, for newcomers that came to the event for the first time. Their little intro into what the Wildcat Wrestling was all about. Pretty good way to kick off a third year anniversary celebration.
Yeah. But then it was Purple Haze and Starks next, right?
Yes.
So it was Purple Haze taking on Ricky Starks in a 2 out of 3 falls match. Now, I was talking, it was so funny, I was saying you have to have streamer etiquette, which means when they say the name of the person, you throw the streamers in right when they say the name. Ricky Starks comes out, and he's all ready and everything. Purple Haze comes out, and as soon as Purple Haze comes out, Ricky Starks just starts beating the crap out of him with a chair, instantly giving Purple Haze the first fall.
Yes.
This was a real good match.
No
introduction, just boom, boom with the chair, and then high speed all the way through. Purple Haze is the man.
Yes, Purple Haze and Ricky Starks, they both put on one good performance. Not a lot of missed spots, very perfect timing. The fans were really getting a kick out of that. They really loved it.
Starks got Purple Haze in his submission move, and Hayes tapped. So that got Starks, so that had them tied at one fall apiece.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that I thought Purple Haze was going to, I don't remember the name of the move, but the triple jump springboard from the outside to the inside moonsault thing he does.
Yes.
But he got caught with the knees. He went forward a second time, and Starks caught him in his submission. Purple Haze rolled back and turn the submission into a pinfall. 1, 2, 3. Walk around the club. Everybody. Purple Haze wins the 2 out of 3 falls match.
And the fans go wild.
The fans went nuts.
Yeah, good victory for Purple Haze. Good victory.
And then you had Shane Taylor, Big Man, defeating Carson. I don't really remember much of that match.
Biggest Shane is, he's like on the 300-pound mark.
Yeah, he's about 300 pounds.
So, you know, you're not going to see a lot of hurricanranas and drop picks.
No.
Some Big Shane Taylor. I mean, do you really have to lift your 300 pounds? No. Just total power. Boy, did he demonstrate that power, folks. My God.
And Carson used to, I mean, he was known as, the Swolger.
Mm-hmm.
Carson's no small dude either. He's got muscle, but Taylor is a different story. He could just sit on you. Yeah, and that's it.
Taylor reminded me of a throwback of the earthquakes, the typhoons.
A Mabel style.
Like a Mabel earthquake style. And he can move. He can move. I'll give him that. He can move pretty good in the ring. But man, combined with that power, I mean, he can have all the muscle in the world. Like when Arn Anderson said, you have that big 22-inch arm, and arm needs oxygen, you can't lift it more.
Yeah.
I told you I'm old school.
Oh, we know that. We all know that. We had team Reality of Wrestling, Ryan Andrews and April Andrew Jackson taking on Team Wildcat, Corey Constantine and Kurt Matthews. Now, this should have been a precursor. We should have had this on in the back of our minds that it was going to extend further than this. But Team Wildcat won.
Yeah, now, folks, this is the first time you've seen the Reality of Wrestling. Abel Andrews, he's kind of like the face of the Reality of Wrestling right now.
Yeah, he's one of the top guys.
Yeah, I remember watching him at, Victory Road 2008, when he was sitting right next to Charmel and Samoa Joe Booker T match. And Samoa Joe
fan towards Chevelle, and he's knocks Abel out of his chair, and he starts beating up his students and everything. So I was like, yeah, that's it. He didn't look kind of familiar, but he's like the face of the company for right now.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good match. I don't think Rowdy and Wrestling didn't know what he was in for.
Hey, but yeah, you could tell. There's some talent level there. There's some difference.
Yes, indeed.
And Corey Constantine has only been wrestling for 3 years.
Wow.
So you got to give him that.
That's good. If you've been wrestling for 3 years, wow.
And I believe around this point, it was we had a little intermission. Booker T was nowhere to be found, but I did find Bob Holly, and I sarcastically told him, "Hey, Bob, thank you for everything you've done for the business. Thank you for your help. Thank you for everything." And I believe that I'm gonna get to the next part, the other part later. It was just too funny. But Booker T, yeah, couldn't find him. Where'd he go? He made a promise to me. We get back, and you get, which I think was the match of the night, Danny Flamingo taking on Jay Spade in an I Quit match.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, anybody who thinks wrestling's fake, I got some pictures of Danny Flamingo. Danny Flamingo lost. Well, first of all, I was pissed off because the way Danny Flamingo had Hayes all tied up, and he was just taking full advantage of him, just whooping his ass. Purple Hayes had.
He went back to the old Tommy Dreamer Sandman, 1994.
Yeah. So Jay Spade had to. Jay Spade had to flip the script on him and get Flamingo locked up. And Spade beat the shit out of him to the point where Flamingo was hurt so bad that he was having a hard time screaming, "I quit." And so Jay Spade won that I Quit match, finally putting an end to this feud that's been going on forever. And the huge pop, the crowd flipped out. The 800 plus, might I add, people.
I'm telling you, Rex, when I know it's a little cliche, but I mean, not a butt was sitting in a seat.
No, I was hugging Jay Spade's mom when we were jumping up and down celebrating. We were having a damn good time.
Yeah,
did you
have an interest in Deathmatch Wrestling? Just like a long hole. Rex, those cane shots. Let me tell you something, folks. There's nothing phony about those cane shots.
I have some pictures I got from Flamingo.
Oh, my goodness.
Of his back. I'll be posting them in the chat room for everybody who's listening live right now. And if not, you can go to Twitter, at the Rexplex, and I'll be posting some of those pictures too.
Guys, I mean, it looked like somebody did tic tac toe on Flamingo's back. I mean, it was just so messed up. Man, I mean, Flamingo and Jay Spade, they were swinging that cane like it was no tomorrow, Rex.
Yeah.
My goodness.
And you'll see by the pictures if you click on the link in the chat or if you go to the Twitter, the Rexplex Twitter. We had Socorro going against Bolt Brady. Now, do you remember exactly the stipulation? Was it if you lose, you come out first, and if you win, you come out last in the Rumble?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So Socorro beat Bolt Brady. Meaning that. Very good match. That's what we were chatting. Who do we cheer for? We didn't know.
And if you don't know what to cheer for, that's the sign of a good match.
Yeah, definitely. That was a great match. But still, Flamingo and Spade was my favorite.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that was the match of the night, hands down. I see all the Facebook comments. You know, I mean, that really, really got the crowd into it. And those matches like those, man, those are like those anniversary matches.
Yeah, those like
you'll never forget.
Like, you know, WWE, they have Hell in a Cell every year.
Mm-hmm.
What was Hell? What was that type of match really made for? When the feud got so heated, it came to that point. And that's why they did so damn well with this match, is because it was that heated, and it came to that point, and you could see it in the match.
Do you think this would be like a signature Wildcat match for opponents that want to settle a feud in the future? You think a Wildcat will probably do matches similar like that?
The thing is, they're capable of doing anything, because they're not like a tradition. They're not your traditional indie.
Okay.
You could see a cage match to finalize a feud, to get to, you know, to blow it off.
Yeah, no, since they I believe they did break off from the National Wrestling Alliance. So
yeah, no more, no more alliance with no more association with NWA.
Okay.
And then we had the 15-man Revolution Rumble. How'd you like this? This was a lot of fun, I thought.
The Rumble? It took me back to the classic Battle Royals. The big man, of course.
Yeah, the big man came in, clean house. We got a little bit of that.
Yeah, and then, you know, I guess these kids watch their wrestling, because they did an old Andre the Giant routine on the big man and threw him out of the ring. So that was pretty good.
But the thing that was different about this is it wasn't last man standing over the top. It was last two go against each other in a one-on-one contest, and the winner gets the vacated Revolution title. And it came down to Best of You Say and Purple Haze. And that's where you and I were kind of split.
Well, yeah, because I predicted Purple Haze to win it all.
I was jumping back and forth.
The typical hometown hero, you know, the veteran of the Wildcat, of the Louisiana indie scene. That's who I thought was going to take it. Who did you think was going to take it, Rex?
I kind of thought Sakura might have been the one for some reason. I kind of thought Sakura or Brady.
Mm-hmm.
But I was rooting for Purple Haze because personally, I know him and he's a good dude in ring. I think he's one of the top guys in Wildcat, one of the most entertaining to watch. But I wanted to see Bestia Say wins to keep the international connection there, because if he's got Wildcat Gold, you know, that means we'll get more international talent, and that's always a plus.
Okay, yeah, that is true, that's true.
So I guess I just said it. Your winner of the Revolution Rumble, Bestia Say, son of Damien from Mexico, is your new Revolution champ.
Yes, I mean, he wrestles just like his dad, folks.
Yeah.
Just like his dad, you know, the pain, everything. So, you know, I was kind of disappointed that Parade didn't win the Revolutionary title, but I think Messiah 666 is going to be a good representative.
And wouldn't that be a hell of a rematch to see?
Oh, my God.
Without the exhaustiveness of the Battle Royal before the actual match even started. Because that alone, that was a standalone good match in itself.
Right, and I mean, you just mentioned it right there. Without a battle royal, and these two go head to head.
Yep.
Oh my goodness, I would pay good money to see that, folks. Very good money to see that, because these two guys interacted so well during that match, and it was just so awesome, folks.
And here we go in the final match of the night. The man who I call the King of New Orleans, Luke Hawks, taking on Bob Hardcore Holly. What do you think about this? Or, yeah, he took on Sparky.
Oh, yes. The main event everybody was waiting for. Do you think Bob Holly got a little frustrated with the LSU chants?
A little bit. There's a little bit.
Oh, man. But, yeah, that was the main event, folks. And it was like, the atmosphere, I mean, it was just so intense between these two. And it was, you know, from the back history relating to these two guys.
Yeah, Luke getting fucked over by Holly years and years ago when Holly thought Luke was just some punk kid. Mm-hmm. But Luke's not no punk kid.
No, he's not, folks.
Luke is a beast.
Luke Harper is a beast, yes. He came a long way from his Ultimate XTW days.
Luke is a wrecking ball. If he ran into the wrecking ball that Miley Cyrus is swinging on, the wrecking ball would shatter and Miley Cyrus's brains would explode all over the room. That's the kind of monster Luke is. So, mid-match, there's a lot of confusion that goes down. Booker T declares that this match has now become a no disqualification match.
Let me tell you, folks, now, Rex, I did not see that coming at all.
I did not either.
No DQ match?
No.
Oh, my goodness. So they definitely flipped the script on the crowd, and everybody went nuts.
And you had Holly hit the Alabama Slam on a chair to Luke, and Luke kicked out of it. We thought it was over right there.
Yes, we did.
The referee got injured, got hit, taken out. Booker T, being the guest commissioner, was able to insert himself as a referee. So he was outside the ring cheering. When Luke was going to hit the ropes for one of his signature kicks, what happened is Booker T grabs Luke's foot, trips him all up. Luke turns around like, how could you do this? I invited you here. You came to my city. Luke turns around, takes another Alabama slam. 1, 2, 3. Holly beats the King of New Orleans, Luke Hawks.
Total swerve, folks. Total swerve.
Booker T proceeds to enter the ring and give Holly a bookend. Not Holly, excuse me. To give Hawks the bookend. Then the ring, the reality of wrestling guys rush the ring and begin a beatdown on Luke. Booker T and Holly included in that beatdown, just stomping on Luke until they all evacuate the ring once the Wildcat boys come out. And
man, that was so insane. I mean, Booker T just went from good guy to bad guy just like that. Fans were booing like crazy. I mean, those people were mad, y'all. Literally mad. At the Booker T.
I have a video. I'm gonna also put that a link to that. You probably don't want to. I'll put some pictures, but I'll put it on at the Rexplex at Twitter, or I'll put it in the link. I'll put the link in the chat so you can see that. I have the full video of the incident, the turn, and everything. The reaction when Holly and Booker T hugged. And when it came to me and Booker T talking to each other and getting that Rexplex plug, or at least having that 10-minute sit-down, Booker T turned on not only all the New Orleans people because he thinks he's taking over, he turned on Rex himself. And if you don't believe me, here's some audio proof.
You know, the reality of wrestling, you know, make it a New Orleans area, man, is here to show the world the reality of wrestling. I'm merging with Wildcat Wrestling. I mean, New Paltz and New Brick Mouth tonight. We went out there, we had to, you know, school them. We had to spank them. That's what reality of wrestling is all about. It's all good, it's all bad, I love you more. But when it comes to business, it's never personal. I think we did exactly that. to hear from, as well as we will be back in January to continue taking care of this. Reality of Wrestling is going to come down here with Wildcat Wrestling. You know, we don't plan on taking over or nothing like that. You know, we're going to bring Wildcat Wrestling along with us. It's going to be a great, great thing for the fans around the world. We'll be able to see Reality of Wrestling as well as Wildcat Wrestling. If you notice, what I said that was Reality of Wrestling first.
Okay.
And then Wildcat Wrestling. But don't you ever disrespect me. All right? If you ever do, and I'm out here.
And I voted for Abel. The audacity of that. I voted for Abel. Abel cares now in Louisiana.
So, basically what he said there was no hard feelings. How are you gonna not have hard feelings after that?
Yeah. Nothing personal in this business can say isn't flying too well with the Wildcat crowd.
Yeah, he said no. He said it's no hard feelings. It's all about business. We about taking over. But we all saw what happened. How much can we really trust this? And how much would you love to see a Booker T Luke match?
Wow, that would be one of my personal dream matches.
That is a Southern dream match right there.
I mean, Luke Hawks fans, where he came from today. I mean, from back then to where he is today. I follow him through HBW, the rest of the side next to Booker T, I mean, come on. Despite what he did, like I said, I mean, G.I. Bro back in the early 89, 90s, of course, one of the greatest tag teams in all time, Long Heat, multi-time champion.
See, what I'm saying is, I don't care if he has that Hall of Fame ring. Once you cross the line like this, there's only one ring that really matters.
Now, that is true. That is so true.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, that was kind of pro. These are two wrestling promotions that are just coming up. But I think what really bothered folks about it, Rex, was this was the third anniversary show.
Yeah.
And you did this not on any night, but the third anniversary. And a lot of indie companies don't even make it 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let alone 3.
You're right, let alone 3 years. So that says a lot. I mean, I can just count on my fingers and toes the many indie companies that just came and went during my day.
Oh yeah, I could run off a list.
So if I talked to Luke Holtz about this, I told him congratulations on 3 years, man. A lot of indie companies, didn't make it, and Luke was telling me. He said, look at Ring of Honor, look at Chikara, CZW, IWA Mid-South, man. You know, I want to be like where they're at, 12, 15 years down the road. And the shows that they put together, Rex,
yeah.
The only regret that I had was I didn't see it from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't see it from, it wasn't a bar at the beginning.
But
you know, Booker T had to spoil it for me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to spoil it for Booker T.
And he didn't even do a spinning.
I'm about to spoil it for Booker T right now. I'm about to spoil Booker T's surprise. You ready?
Sure.
Booker T will be back here in December. And I'm going to have some words for him. But despite that, Booker T is training with Stevie Ray because he wants to take on the Young Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Harlem Heat reunion. He said he wants all the top teams, and he specifically said multiple times he wants Harlem Heat against the Young Bucks. So there you go, Booker T. I just spoiled your surprise. Don't lie to me. I love Booker T, though. In all realness, I love Booker T.
But that night.
Oh, but no, I didn't love that night. No.
Not on the anniversary night.
No.
You crossed the line, buddy. You won. Hey, I'm not going to do my Tony Montana routine, but he wants a war. Well, guess what? He got one. You won't be careful what you wish for. I mean, don't think these Wildcat guys like that at all, but they were more than happy to oblige you, as they would say. So I'm waiting for that little promotion event to happen. So, right, so I want to ask you, what do you think about those crossover promotional events? Are you for them or against them? Or you think they work? Sometimes you don't think they work? What do you think?
I think it works when done the right way. I don't think TNA in Japan worked at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that worked.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I think what you can make it work with indies. You can easily make it work with indies. I mean, you just have to have people who are creative and have the right creative enough and have the right ideas and everything. And it is risky. It can be very risky. But
I mean, you can hear the mini shoot interviews with Ring of Honor versus Comet Zone from the years of 07, 08, 09. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Don't you remember those?
Those wars, yeah, the cage matches. Ring of Honor, they had New Japan on for two events, and those were great.
Oh, yes, yes. So I'm pretty sure like these two companies, you know, once they get together, I think they'll put on a really good show. I'm definitely looking forward to see it in 2015. And Team Wildcat, I mean,
December.
You know how I feel about Team Wildcat.
In December. Sometime in December.
Oh, sometime in December. All right.
That's what we know. So that's about it for the Rexplex.
Oh, man. Thank you, Rex, for allowing me to share this podcast with you.
Of course, thank you for
go out there, support your local indie organization.
Support your local indie wrestling. You can follow on Twitter at the Rexplex. Like us on Facebook. Just search the Rexplex. Email us at therexplex@gmail.com. I will answer any questions and speak on anything you like to hear. Of course, you can listen every Thursday at 7 p.m., 6 Central, at rantemradio.com. I want to thank my friend helping me out run through this, Mr. Jay Slate, the Junkyard Stud.
JYS.
Yes, the JYS. And you can, of course, you're going to be back on the show sometime in the near future.
Well, Mr. Rex, I'd like to thank you for inviting me on here. I had a lot of fun, and it's what I love to do, watch wrestling and talk about wrestling. So it's like a dream come true for me, brother.
So stay positive, love yourself and someone else. For Mr. Jay Slade, the Junkyard Stud himself, I'm Rex Watson logging off. Telling you, have a great night, great day, great week, great life. Good night, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Yay!
Side. Like it.